Milton Nkosi is the BBC South Africa correspondent. He joins us from just outside the home of the late Nelson Mandela in Soweto, where, Milton, you grew up as well. Growing up in Soweto, what did Mandela mean to you? I mean, I would guess that he was in prison for many years as you were growing up.
Very much so, Marco. Growing up here in Soweto, the largest black township in South Africa, this was the nucleus on the fight against apartheid. So Mr. Mandela embodied this township, and this township embodied him. It represented the aspirations of many black people for human rights and for the freedom from racial oppression.
And in your mind, Milton, as a young man, I mean, what kind of image were you able to conjure up of this man whose image was actually illegal?
Remember when Nelson Mandela was in prison, we were told that he was a terrorist. He was bad for human being, for society, for the community, and therefore people were not supposed to even see his photograph. But unfortunately, for the apartheid regime, people were caucusing late at night behind the cover of darkness. And they were explaining to young children, like I was at the time, that Mr. Mandela is not a terrorist. He was a freedom fighter, and he was not just fighting for his own freedom. He was fighting to liberate all of us, black and white, together.
You know, Milton, the big moment the world will always recall is when Mandela walked out of prison a free man. I mean, it seemed like the beginning of a new chapter in South Africa, but things, we should remember, were not so beautiful for several years. 1990 to 1994, things could have gone either way. What was that like for you personally, that period?
It was a very, very tricky time in South Africa's history. It could have gone either way, as you say. There was a lot of violence. The apartheid regime's last kick of a dying horse was that they engaged a third force, you know, undercover forces who were fighting within the black communities to create the impression that black people would not be able to rule or to govern properly because they would fight amongst each other. And we were all surprised to see that how come Mr. Mandela comes out of prison and he says he's a peaceful man and suddenly people are hacking each other in broad daylight. And in the end, they were exposed and democracy came to South Africa anyway. And the most amazing thing about that, Marco, was that Nelson Mandela taught us about forgiveness on a massive scale, because he said to his jailers, let bygones be bygones, after 27 years of imprisonment.
So today, Milton, what are your friends and family in Soweto saying about that side of Mandela, this extraordinary side of the man that somehow was able to avoid a national bloodbath of reprisal? I mean, how do they explain how he did that?
You know, Mandela led a willing people. Mandela was not doing this on his own. He did not just impose the peace on a people who were willing to fight. If anything, the people wanted peace. In South Africa, people were tired. Apartheid was brutal. It was violent. People were tired of it. They wanted peace. They wanted to bring up their children in a climate of peace and tranquility. And they wanted very much to be in a situation where they could go and get a job and work hard and build a home for themselves. And that is exactly what happened once the violence subsided and when Mr. Mandela's leadership emerged and took over. And remember, that's what he won the Nobel Peace Prize for in 1993, for averting a racial bloodbath.
Milton, kind of hard to ignore the seeming jubilation behind you. I'm hearing some bass. What's going on there around the Mandela home?
Marco, one lady called Miriam Makeba put it very, very succinctly for us many years ago. She said, African people cry in song. What she meant is that in the time of death, the time of sorrow, African people express their pain through song and through sorrow. So that is what has happened here. These people are not actually jubilant in the sense that they are happy because Mr. Mandela is dead. They are celebrating a life that they cherished, that they admired, that they followed of Mr. Mandela. And that is what is happening here today. Many of them, in their quiet moments, they become very, very somber.
Many of them, I'm sure, have personal memories of Mandela, maybe shaking his hand, being in his presence. I know you've got a really personal story about meeting Nelson Mandela. Tell us that one.
You know, I went to school just across the road from Mr. Mandela's house, which is where I'm actually speaking to you from, Marco. This place is full of history. When Mr. Mandela came out of prison and he shook my hand in 1990, February, I could not believe myself. Remember, Mr. Mandela was my grandfather's friend at the time, before he was arrested, before he went to prison. And my dad used to work for him in the 50s and 60s, just before he got sentenced to life imprisonment. So there was a relationship already existing when I grew up, and I became friends with his children. And of course, I knew his wife very well, Winnie Madikizela Mandela. So it was a very, very, how shall I put it, a hero who was also a neighbor.
After he came out of prison, you were stuck in an elevator with Mandela, is that right?
Yes, in 1994, when the African National Congress won the election, they had a victory party in a very famous downtown hotel called the Carlton Hotel here in Johannesburg. And we went to cover the celebrations, and we were in an elevator with Mr. Mandela. It hadn't broken down, but we got briefly stuck because we wanted to get off another floor. We couldn't get off, so we had to go a few floors up before we could go down. And all of that with Mr. Mandela in the elevator at the time when he was really becoming the first democratically elected president of the richest nation on the African continent.
And I gather he was able to joke around a bit. What did he say to you?
Mr. Mandela is known for his humor. You know, each time you meet him, and certainly happened to me many, many times, he said, "Hello, how are you? Do you remember me?" And of course, you know, imagine if President Obama said, "Do you remember me?" You know, that is the kind of humor Mr. Mandela had. But he had a sense, a very deep and serious sense of making little people feel like they count, like they mean something, like they are loved, not as some sidekick on the side of the road. And that was his ability to draw millions and millions of people to follow him.
Did you ever wonder how, after 27 years in jail, he could still easily joke around?
I could never understand it. But the one thing, Marco, that completely baffles me: Mr. Mandela becomes president, having served 27 years in prison, having been tortured and treated in the most terrible way. And when he becomes president, he invites, guess who? The man who was the prosecutor at his trial, which got him sentenced to life imprisonment, Percy Yutar. And when he welcomed him, he said, "Oh, Percy, good to see you." that's the man we're talking about. That's the man who has passed on here in South Africa today.
Milton, let me just ask you a couple of questions about your own personal connection. What did your father do for Nelson Mandela?
You know, under the apartheid regime, people like Nelson Mandela were constantly under guard, and they were observed. And so they had young boys who were moving paperwork for them, you know, discussion papers about policy, about what do you want South Africa to be when you come into power. And remember then, in the 50s and 60s, at that time, you know, there was no electricity here. It was pretty, pretty depressing. But there were people who could, under candlelight, read, formulate policy. And my dad was one of those young office guys who were good in terms of administration. You know, they could cross the T's and dot the I's, if you like.
So I think if Nelson Mandela emerged from prison kind of defined by forgiveness and healing, kind of like Martin Luther King Jr., he went into prison in 1962 more like Malcolm X, you know, changed by any means necessary. I'm just curious who was the Nelson Mandela your dad told you about?
Okay, this is very important, Marco. This, we have to really set the record straight here. Mr. Mandela, it's a fact, was a peaceful man before he went to prison. Mr. Mandela was actually made to join the struggle of the armed struggle, to start an armed struggle, because the regime he was trying to sort out was so brutal. So that is the Mandela we know. We know that Mr. Mandela was a peaceful man. It's a bit like we know Barack Obama wanted to have peace, but suddenly he wants to bomb Syria. Does that mean that Obama is a violent man?
Very interesting perspective. Are people talking about Obama and Mandela today there?
Very much so, because Mr. Obama gave one of the most amazing speeches upon the news of Mr. Mandela's passing. And of course, Mr. Obama was here not so long ago on a state visit. He came to Soweto. He delivered his keynote speech there. Well, not a keynote speech, but he had a big town hall meeting with the youth. And he spoke very, very, very eloquently about the history of Soweto in relation to the history of South Africa. And of course, we know that Mrs. Obama came twice. She returned with Mr. Obama, but she was here in 2011, where I met her exactly in Soweto again.
The BBC South Africa correspondent Milton Nkosi, outside the home of the late Nelson Mandela. Thanks so much, Milton. Great to speak with you.
Thanks, Marco.